Once again, good morning to each and every one of you. Happy Resurrection Day. Jesus is alive. We're celebrating the anniversary once again. And it's a special day as we've spent time. Some of you, like me, got up a little bit earlier than normal and tried to beat the sun up. And not beat it up, just get up before it did. Yeah. And we had a special time this morning together, sharing together, reflecting on the scriptures and the occasion of our Lord's death, leading up to it, all the events that surrounded it. Many years ago, when we lived down in Alamogordo, I was outside working in my yard one day and just out there doing my thing and getting the grass clipped or something. I forget what I was doing, but I was out there working. And the neighbors had some visitors come, and they got out and were over talking with the visitors. Well, the neighbors, and so these visitors had a little girl, and evidently she got bored with what was going on over there. And she saw me working in my yard, so she wandered over to start seeing what I was doing. She was 6 years old and full of curiosity and a lot of things to say. And so we struck up a conversation. In the process, I asked her, what happened to your missing front teeth there? And I see four of them are gone. And she said, well, I really lost six. But the tooth fairy only credited me for five because I swallowed one of them when I was eating corn on the cob. So I only got money for five of my teeth. And I think I should have gotten six teeth worth. Well, did she see the tooth fairy? No, but she sure believed in him. And she thought that she had gotten shortchanged in the process. The Spanish conquistadors were partly motivated to search the Southwest because they had been told there are seven cities of what? Gold. And they searched and searched, and they covered this territory, and they mapped it out. And did they find the cities of gold? No, but they sure spent a lot of time and effort because they believed the story that they had been told, and they wanted to find those cities of gold. Today we celebrate the anniversary of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The New Testament says it was a long-awaited event, as a matter of fact, from the beginning of creation. And so for thousands and thousands of years, the people of God waited for the coming Messiah. The Old Testament revealed all kinds of prophecies regarding this coming Savior. And the New Testament tells us that He came. He has come. The Messiah has come. He's come and paid the price. He's gone to the grave, and He has conquered the grave with life. Now, there's a lot of people who don't believe that story. Is this story of the resurrection just a tradition? Is it a myth? Is it a fairy tale? Is it a fable? Or is it true? None of us were eyewitnesses. Were any of you eyewitnesses of the resurrection? Have any of you seen Jesus Christ face to face? No. And yet we're here today celebrating Jesus, the one whom we are told in Scripture has conquered the grave, has conquered death, and is alive, and is at the right hand of God. Now, I don't know about the rest of you. I haven't been to Israel to visit. My mother was privileged to be able to go on one of those tours and see the empty garden tomb, the one we think was where Jesus was buried. We don't know for sure. So why are we here today? Are you one of those who have not seen but believe the testimonies of the witnesses? I hope you are. Not seeing, but believing, because we have the repeated testimony in Scripture that the Messiah was to come, He has come, and what else? He's coming again. Previous to our text that we're going to be reading today, we have recorded the death and the burial of Jesus as witnessed by several of His followers. The burial honors were rather quick and cut short because Jesus was buried late Friday afternoon, and they were living under Mosaic law. And they had the people who were obedient to the law had to be in their house by sundown. And so they were quickly doing what they could to show respect for the deceased Jesus, quickly putting Him into the tomb, putting a few aromatic spices on Him, but then they sealed the tomb to hurry home before sundown. And what were they expecting over the next few days? They expected after the Sabbath to go back on Sunday morning. To find what? A dead, loving person. The burial honors were going to be restored come Sunday morning. But the tomb was empty. And then some of the disciples started sharing stories about seeing angels, seeing Jesus Himself. And all this was taking place. But there was one disciple who didn't see Jesus. Thomas. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank You for Jesus Christ. We thank You for the testimonies of Your children, Your disciples, Your loved ones who saw Jesus before, through, and after the crucifixion, after the resurrection. And they have written their testimonies for us. We've heard from the Apostle John in our opening this morning. And now we're going to read another section of Scripture. And we have the rest of Scripture to lead us, to call us to Your feet, to Your belief, to Your service. Father, if we are weak in our faith, help us to grow, to trust in You more. Help us to be an encouragement to each other. If there's any here who don't know You personally, we pray that they would open up their hearts to the guidance of Your Spirit and the testimony of Your Scriptures, to be ready when Jesus comes back. For without Him, we have no hope at all. But because of Jesus, we have all the hope we ever need. Be with us now as we open Your Scriptures. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me read from our text. It's John chapter 20, verses 24 through 31. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples were saying to Him, "We have seen the Lord." But He said to them, "Unless I see in His hands the imprint of the nails, and put my finger into the place of the nails, and put my hand into His side, I will not believe." After 8 days, His disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors having been shut and locked, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Then He said to Thomas, "Reach here with your finger and see my hands, and reach here your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believing." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Because you have seen me, have you believed? Blessed are they who did not see and yet believed." Therefore, many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, you may have life in His name. The testimony of the Apostle John. Let's dissect this just a little bit. Not seeing, but believing. Thomas needed some solid proof of the Lord's resurrection. Solid proof. His past experiences did not count in Thomas's mind. Thomas had been with the Lord in the beginning of the ministry for 3.5 years. He had been walking with Jesus. He had been handpicked by Jesus. Thomas had been with Jesus all those years, hearing the words of truth and hope and promise and direction in life. He trusted those words of Jesus. He witnessed the miracles, the power of Jesus Christ, hundreds of times. He had seen healing after healing. He had witnessed Jesus providing food for a huge crowd. How many times? Twice. He'd helped pass the bread and the fish out both times and then went out and picked up the leftovers. He knew what Jesus was able to do. He had been in the boat when Jesus stopped the storm with one little phrase, "Peace be still." He had watched Peter about drown as Jesus walked across the top of the water and saved him, pulled him into the boat. Casting out demon after demon and even raising other people from the dead. It just happened a couple weeks ago. Lazarus, he'd been in the grave for 4 days. Whew! You should have smelled that when they opened the tomb. And then out walks Lazarus. But that was when Jesus was alive. That was before he got killed. Thomas and the apostles had even been given power from the Master to heal and to cast out demons themselves. They had personally experienced it. Again, when Jesus was alive. Thomas was convinced that they would all be killed. In John chapter 11 is where Jesus received the message that Lazarus was sick. Terminally sick. If you don't get over here soon, he's going to die. That was the message from Mary and Martha. And what did Jesus say? Jesus said, "Don't worry, Lazarus won't end up dead." Okay. Jesus deliberately waited 2 days before telling the disciples that what happened? Lazarus is dead now. We need to go to him. What? You just said that he wouldn't end up dead, and now you say he's dead? And now we have to go visit him? Now, the destination was at Bethany. And if you're not familiar, Bethany sat on the eastern edge of the city of Jerusalem. And what was special about Jerusalem? That was the hotbed of all the hatred and the animosity towards Jesus. They had been staying away from Jerusalem because of all of the enemies of Jesus. And now Jesus says, "Let's go to Jerusalem, to Bethany, on the outskirts." Thomas said in John chapter 11, verse 16, this is Thomas speaking, "Let us also go so that we may die with him." Thomas convinced the other 11 disciples to accompany Jesus to what Thomas believed was their death. He couldn't imagine anything else could happen to them. There's no way they were going to survive this trip. The Jews hated Jesus so much that he knew that they would all be killed. And so they go, they make this trip. Lazarus is raised from the grave. 2 weeks go by. And Jesus is taken. Why didn't they take the disciples? They all ran away. They all hid. That's the only reason they didn't get killed in Thomas's mind. Thomas was no different in disbelief than the other disciples. Sometimes I think personally that Thomas gets unjustly criticized. He has gained the famous name of what? Doubting Thomas. Doubting Thomas. Look at Doubting Thomas. I'm not like Doubting Thomas. Only Doubting Thomas is like Doubting Thomas. I'm much better than that. Wrong. You see, when you go back and look at the story, we looked at parts of the story this morning. Those crazy women, when they went back to do what? They went back to the tomb to dress a dead body. And they were startled to find the tomb open and no body there. And then they have this story that two angels told them, "He's what? He's alive." And so the women run back and tell the rest of the disciples. Guess what? You remember all the stories Jesus said about being alive? And what was the response of the disciples? "You're crazy. You're crazy. You don't know what you're talking about." And Peter and John ran to check out their story. And what did they find? An empty tomb. An empty tomb is all they found. And they came back scratching their head. What? What's going on here? And so they go back to their room and they lock the door. Mark chapter 16, verse 11. Mary was privileged to see Jesus raised from the dead, and she went back to the disciples and said, "I've seen Jesus alive." And what did they say? "I don't believe it. You're crazy. You're nuts. I don't believe it. I won't believe it till I see it." So Mary's sitting over in the corner, dejected, rejected, ignored, because she's a Looney Tune in the minds of all the disciples. And then this morning we talked about Cleopas and his friend, walked with Jesus all the way to Emmaus, and Jesus revealed himself at supper time. And so Cleopas and his friend run all the way back to Jerusalem and get into the house and tell, "We walked with Jesus and he explained the scriptures to us." And what it was the response of the disciples? "I don't believe it." And just after they finished talking, Jesus appeared in the room to all the disciples but Thomas. Thomas wasn't there. He was still out in hiding someplace. He wasn't getting the word. He was buried under some rocks someplace. scared to death that they were going to kill him next. Just like the other disciples who were in their locked room, not believing that Jesus was alive. This went on for a whole week. Finally, Thomas is with the disciples. They're telling him, Mary saw him, the two guys from Emmaus saw him, and we all got to see him last Sunday when you were gone. And what was the response of Thomas? I won't believe it till I see it. Won't believe it till I touch him. So now, we just read, it's a week later, they're in a locked room again. Why are they still locking the door? Because they're still afraid that they are next on the hit list. They're afraid they're going to die. The Jews hate their guts. So they're still meeting behind locked doors. Except somebody can get in. Jesus isn't stopped by locked doors. And Jesus appears to them again. Jesus personally confronts Thomas as a lesson for all people. I think Jesus intentionally knew that Thomas wouldn't be in all those other meetings so that he could give us a lesson. This wasn't just for Thomas, it's for all people. 1 week had passed since Jesus began revealing himself to the various disciples, and Thomas was absent every single time until now. Thomas made the bold statement that many of us make quite often, I won't believe it until I see it. Let me throw some examples at you. What were the first impressions when somebody said, there's this thing called an automobile that they have made? I won't believe it until I see it. There's this new thing that they made. It's called an aeroplane. I won't believe it until I see it. What was that? I can't believe my eyes. They made a new thing called a rocket. A rocket? What's a rocket? What was that? You know what? They're going to send an astronaut to the moon. I won't believe it till I see it. You know what? They can take your heart out and put a new heart in, and you can still be alive at the end of the process? I won't believe it till I see it. I used an illustration this morning. Doctor said one leg shorter than the other. One of my good buddies from college days had a disease when he was 8 years old, and one leg was an inch and a half shorter than the other. His hip socket finally gave out, and they replaced his hip. And while the doctor was at it, he said, you know what, I think I can fix your leg while we're at it, and my buddy can now walk on two equally long legs. I won't believe it till I can see it. Blessed are they who did not see and yet believed. There's a lot of things that happen that we don't see personally, but we accept it as normal. I've never been to New York City, but I believe it's there. I don't think I'm going to visit it either, but anyway, there's a lot of things we accept based on the testimony of others. We can believe the testimony of the witnesses of Jesus. We can believe them. It's reliable. I was taught that Christopher Columbus discovered America in 1492, sailing the oceans blue. But there might have been somebody else ahead of them, but we're not really sure is what I was taught. Maybe the Norsemen, maybe the Vikings, but we don't really know. I have this weird sense of interest, and I've been watching a program called The Curse of Oak Island, and I don't know if the rest of you watch this silly stuff, but anyway, they have been finding artifacts and carvings and articles from 1200 A.D. on this island up in Nova Scotia, that there were people here before Columbus. Will we believe it? Well, some people will, some people won't. That's not life-changing, but sometimes the testimony of others reveals things that we didn't expect. And we have a group of people who devoted their life to writing down the evidence, the testimony of Jesus Christ. Many people today are rejecting the lessons of past history. We are seeing it here in the United States. Groups are successfully tearing down their monuments and memorials, only putting up what they want to believe in. Others refuse to support the rule of written law or to prosecute known lawbreakers or even to uphold and support our law officers. They say, we're going to do it our way. I don't care what history says. The eyewitness testimony is being rewritten by others who have perverted motives and disagree with what's been written down. They have different agendas. They don't care what the truth of the history is. We have corruption and immorality being promoted as natural and desirable and the true way to live in spite of God's warnings, evidence of past cultures, and the eternal deadly results. People reject the lessons of the past because it doesn't fit their desire. Many people are resigned to what they think is inevitable. People that grow up in situations of hatred, violence, and destruction think that that's the only way to live. And so they learn how to live a life of hatred, violence, and destruction to protect their own neck. And they figure out ways to improve on it. Personal experience shows that everyone dies from something, right? We have all kinds of cemeteries all around us. Do you know anybody that's 150 or 200 or 300 or 400 years old? No, everybody dies. That's what we experience. And we're all going to die, even if you go to the doctor and get healed for a little bit. In spite of the advancement of medicine and surgical technology, humanity continues to die. So how in the world can you crazy Christians say that we have the prospect of eternal life? Because I don't see it, people say. And maybe you're one of those. Did you catch what John wrote there in those last two verses? Did you catch what John said in our opening scripture? He said, what we have seen, what we have touched, what we have felt, what we have experienced, we write these things down so that you may believe. He staked his life on it. The apostles staked their life on the testimony, on their life experience that Jesus Christ went through a horrible death, a burial, and what? Resurrection. He was alive. And he spent about 40 days with his men showing him, showing the disciples, not just them, but at one point a crowd of over 500. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the first few verses. They saw Jesus alive. He was not normal. He was God. Don't forget it. John writes these things that we may believe his testimony. Will we believe these eyewitnesses of the Scripture who devoted their lives to Jesus Christ? Luke opens his gospel letter stating that he investigated everything carefully from the beginning. Now, Luke was not one of the original 12 or the original group. He was a Greek physician who was told about Jesus Christ. And so he went into an investigation process, looking at all of the testimony, all of the evidence, and he wrote it down and in the process became a believer. Was he going to put up with fairy tales? I get the impression no, because he devoted his life to serve Jesus as well, even when it cost him his own life. The entire Bible claims to be God's message to mankind as the testimony claiming this is God's truth and his message. And we will be judged by this message called the Holy Bible. The Bible reveals God's entire plan of restoring fallen humanity. It tells us how we got in the predicament we're in, what God has done in our behalf, what he's doing right now. He's preparing a new home for us where in righteousness dwells, and we need to be ready when Jesus comes back. Jesus has paid for how much sin? All sin. Though he had none of his own, he took all of our sin and paid for it in full so that we have an open door through Jesus to eternal life. God judged humanity once through the worldwide flood. A lot of people tell you, oh, that's all fairy tale, that's make-believe. No, it's not. We have the testimony of Scripture. We have the ancient writings of ancient cultures that archaeologists have uncovered that tell us there was a worldwide flood, there we go, that took all families and all land creatures except for what was on a boat. And that was one family. It's not just in the Bible, it's in other ancient writings outside of the Bible. Not only that, we have the testimony of the Grand Canyon. We have huge fossil beds. We have the giant coal beds that only can be described as a result of a worldwide flood. God warns us that there's one more judgment coming, and it's the final one, and it will be by fire. Is the world having global warming? Yes, it will. And there's no recovery from that one. You better be ready. The rapid growth and spread of Christianity in the first century also testifies to the fact that Jesus Christ conquered the grave. The testimonies of thousands of people who witnessed the miracles of Jesus and who personally experienced the power of Jesus and his apostles could not be denied. They saw the evidence of the power of God working in Jesus and his apostles and those who were blessed with those spiritual gifts in the beginning, and they could not deny that Jesus was the Lord of life. The power of Jesus Christ continues to transform new believers. Have you been changed? Does Jesus work in your life? Let other people know about it. Have you experienced the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control of the Holy Spirit? Let people know about it. Let them see the difference. People are searching for an answer. They want life. You have the word. You have the message. You have the testimony, if you will share it. The power of the Holy Spirit continues to convict hearts that are searching for truth. And you can direct them to the giver of life, Jesus Christ, if you will take the time to do so. All of us must overcome our unbelief with belief in Jesus. The New Testament is written along with the Old Testament as a testimony, as a witness from God that we are made in His image. Satan is trying to deceive us, trying to destroy us, but Jesus is the Savior for all. He has defeated the power of sin and death so that we can live not just here, but with Him in heaven forever. We may not see Jesus physically, but we can and we must believe in Him, believe in the Scripture, if we want to live with Him forever. If you have questions about something in your life, a concern and unbelief that you're struggling with, talk to one of us. Help us to help you by asking for help. Maybe you don't understand some portions of the Scripture. The elders, myself, we'd be glad to help you. Maybe you know a mother believer. Ask them for help. That's why we're here. We are to uplift one another, encourage one another, help each other grow in the faith. If you haven't given your life to Jesus, you need to do that as soon as possible. Talk to one of us. Let us know so we can help you obey Jesus. Would you pray with me? Thank you, Father, for Jesus Christ. We thank you for the testimony of those first century believers. We thank you for the story of Thomas, who spoke just like a lot of us do. I won't believe it till I see it. And you revealed yourself to him in a special way so that we can learn. Help us to believe, even though we are not able to see you personally. You've promised that you're returning, and then if we wait too long, it'll be too late. Father, help those who are struggling with their faith. Help us to be alert to helping each other. Be with us as we go from here to be your witness, your testimony, to encourage others to come to Jesus. We pray in His name. Amen.